All right. Good morning. It's good to be back here again in little Ohio City Church of God, right? Right? Well, I live here too, just like the rest of you. Some of you come from another place, but that's all right. We'll accept you. Because in the house of God, we love everybody, correct? That's right. It doesn't matter what skin color you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. Jesus takes all in. But he doesn't leave us in that state. He wants us to change. So, and we're going to open up in prayer once again, and then we'll get into the scripture this morning. But Lord, I thank you once again for the opportunity to come here to this place and to give forth your word that you desire for the people to receive, God. And I just thank you for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with, for all that can come out, and for the life that you give us in our lungs, Lord. We have breath to breathe and give praise unto you. And Lord God, I just pray as this word goes forth that it may touch those that hear. And I thank you, God, for the time we've had to worship and praise you, Lord, to enter into your presence with into your gates with thanksgiving and praise. And I'm just so thankful, God, for being able to come forth and to bring this word, and that, Lord, it may touch the hearers, and that our hearts may be ready to receive what saith the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you got your Bibles with me, it's on the board here as well, but we're going to open up in Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 9 through 13. And I forgot to mark my Bible, so if it takes me a couple minutes to get to some of these, then bear with me, because I forgot. All right, Matthew 9, 9 through 13. And it says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them," now listen here, this is important, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye in and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And that's the title of my message this morning, is "They that are sick." It's they that are sick that need a physician. The sickness that Jesus spoke about when the Pharisees came in and asked, "Why do you eat with publicans and sinners?" And publicans at that time, they're tax collectors. And they were the most least respected people of all the Jewish community, because they were taking the money from the Jewish people for the Roman Empire, and that's what their job was. And it was despised of, because nobody likes taxes. I'm sure you're not going to call your local IRS guy and say, "Thanks for taking my money." It's the same thing here in the time of Jerusalem. They're not going to say, "Oh, here, thanks. I worked for all this money. I'm going to give it to the government who I don't even support," because they didn't support the Roman government, right? They believed their government was God, and they were waiting for their Messiah to come and overthrow the Roman government. But here in America, we have a much better government, but no, we still don't like taxes. And nobody does, and that's okay. But guess what? We're still going to deal with it, because we're not going to change it. But the sickness that Jesus talked about here was not of any sort of physical ailment. Yes, Jesus healed physical ailments. He rose up the dead. He healed the lame. He opened up the blinded eyes. He opened the deaf ears. But the most important healing that Jesus was talking about was the sickness of the soul. That is what is most important to him, because that is why he came to this earth, so that they may come to repentance, so that sinners may come to repentance. And what does that repentance mean? It means that we are separated from God because of the sin that dwells within us, but Jesus Christ came and he bore our sin upon the cross. He did not become a sinner on the cross like some teach, but no, he took the sin sacrifice of the world. Every sin that you and I and every person before and after us that will commit, because God operates out of time, space, and our own understanding. We can't comprehend everything of God, but God comprehends everything above all and in all. But he took the sin of the world, bore it upon himself, and said, "Father, it is finished." And when he said, "It is finished," that means it was completed. Our sacrifice was won. Our redemption was won upon the cross. It wasn't when he came out of the tomb that showed that he had power over death in the grave. But our victory came upon the cross. When he took our sin and was faithful to do God's will and die upon the cross, that is where our victory is, church. It's not in our baptism. It's not because we can partake in communion. We do that in remembrance of what the sacrifice Jesus did for us. And that doesn't mean that we take communion lightly. It's a sacred thing because we're blessed to be able to take part of communion. But it also says in Scripture that if you take communion unworthily, or saying that you're doing it in a way where it's out of no thought or care in your own heart, it says that you're partaking and putting damnation upon your own soul. So it's very important that when we take communion, that we look at our own selves and, am I falling in line with the Lord? Is there things I need to lay down before I partake? And I know that's nothing to do with this message. That's just a little add-on for you. But Jesus is the ultimate physician. He is the greatest physician that is and ever has come to this earth. And we'll go to Hosea 6, 1 through 11. Hosea 6, 1 through 11. It says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will build us up, bind us up." So how many of us know Hosea? That's Old Testament. So this is prophetic. This is something that the Lord, he has turned from his people Israel, and because of their sin, because of their wickedness, and they had kings set up that defied God, that set up idols, and they followed after the nations around them, and God turned his back on them. But that's why we now, as Gentiles, we have opportunity to have communion with God and thank God for our dispensation that we have. But one day, the Gentile dispensation is going to go away. It means that's when the rapture takes place, church, and we're going to be called up into the heavens with God Almighty, and all that will remain is those that God has chosen from his Jewish people that he has chosen and sealed until the day of where the second coming of Christ, okay? But we know that God has torn and he will bind up. He will build us up again, because that's what Jesus came to do. We were torn away from God, but Jesus came to mend that. And it says, "After 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." That's talking about the resurrection of Christ. There's power in the resurrection. "Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as a latter and former rain unto the earth." And this is in the fourth verse. It says, "O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth. Therefore I have hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as a light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." So in those times, if you are well versed in the word, you know that they gave sacrifice of animals, and that was what they did for atonement for sin, because the sprinkling of the blood of animals just covered sin, but the blood of Jesus washes away sin. Amen. But also they had sacrifices for other things, other sins, other wrongdoings that were done. But God was more pleased with obedience of the people in his word and his commands, rather than if they'd screwed up, just say, "Well, I'll give my sacrifice and we'll be good." No, God looks at the heart. He desires a heart that is pure. He desires a heart that is obedient to him. And he desired that much more than any sacrifice. God even looks at us. It doesn't matter how much money that we give to the poor. It doesn't matter how much we volunteer. It doesn't matter how much we help in the church. If our heart is not set before God Almighty, those are all very good things to do, and they're good works that we should be doing. But it's much more important that we live a life in obedience to his word. Amen. "But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They have dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he has set a harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. How sad a commentary that is that God's looking at his own people, who he chose to be a holy nation for him, and he's saying, you're not at all living up to what I called you to. But that's what the law is for. The old covenant, the commandments, they were given because they show how far man falls from the glory of God. We can't live up to the commandments of God, not on our own power. There's no way, because it's a holy commandment. And then there was no holiness within them. The Holy Spirit didn't dwell within man in the time of the Old Testament like he does now. We're a blessed people. We need to understand that. The Holy Spirit lives within us every single day of our lives if we call Jesus Lord or Savior, right? Because it says as soon as you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is entered into us and causes conviction, and there begins this tedious process that everybody doesn't like. I don't care how long you've been saved, but it's called sanctification. That's where the Holy Spirit wants to take out all this ugliness of the world out of us and place in his righteousness, place in his holiness. And it's a hard process, because you know what that means? Surrender. Lord, I give myself unto you. Just like me, I'm a stubborn man. I don't like going to a doctor. And I surely will tell you, I don't like spending the money for a doctor either, because I'm tired of barking a tree when it comes to that. I do not like going to the doctor. So I'm going to about wait till I'm feeling like I'm dying or something's broke before I'm going to go to the doctor. Okay? And I'll tell you this story where there was a time we got a little four-wheeler for the kids, and I thought, well, I'm going to putt around in that thing a little much. And it's not a very big one, so I'm out there doing some wheelies. And I thought, well, I'll see how far I can go down the yard and do a wheelie. Well, you get your foot back there on the little kick bar to get it popped up, and I went a little too far. It's only a little 125cc. I think it doesn't weigh anything. So I go back, and I got my boots on, and it hits the ground, and it just goes, my ankle just kicks over. So I get up, got a cold sweat because you're in pain, okay? So I get to flip that thing over, and I just hobble on back to the barn, put the four-wheeler away, and then I go get in the house, sit on the couch, and I need some ice. And Debbie says, what'd you do? What's worse than having to go to the doctor, humbling your pride, and telling your wife, I'm stupid. I did something stupid, okay? So then I got ice on the thing, and I think I better go to the hospital. It's just throbbing. Nothing's broke, but I sprained it pretty bad. And then get to the hospital, and he hobbling on in there, and the receptionist behind the desk, you need a wheelchair? No, I don't need a wheelchair. I'm dumb enough to hurt myself, I'll walk my happy butt in here. Then I go get seen by the nurse or the doctor, and then on the way out I had to apologize to the lady because I chewed on her a little bit. But even Christ, when we come to him, sometimes it's hard for us to come to Christ because we need a healing. It's hard because you can ask yourself, especially if there's some that's dealt with cancer or if you have some sort of ailment now, it's hard to come to the Lord and say, Lord, why do I even have this thing? I'm a child of yours. You're the ultimate healer, but why do I still have this thing that bothers me? And sometimes it's hard to go to him in prayer for that healing that you're desperately in need of. But you know what? Sometimes those things can be the thorn in our flesh that keep us close to God. Remember that. Because one day I guarantee you and I surely promise you we will all receive a perfect healing. Because this body that we have now is temporal. It's not going to last. And it's built for decay. Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. This body was first originally designed where we were going to live with God forever. But man screwed up. They didn't listen to the Lord. You can say, Adam and Eve, why didn't you ever listen? Why'd you listen to that lying devil? But we do the same thing. We fall into those temptations and we sin. But guess what? We can all come back to his grace and his mercy, but we don't take it for granted either. But we know that we'll all receive a perfect body one day, fashioned like the Lord Jesus Christ, because it'll be a glorified body just as his is now. But we don't have it yet. We don't have this body where we won't have wrinkles or anything else. We're all getting older, right? I even look in the mirror. I'm not quite 30 yet. I'll be 30 this year. But I'm like, Lord, some things hurt a little more than when I was 18. I can't just do some stupid stuff and just recover from it in a day. It takes a week now. I remember when I was young and spry, we used to jump off a story building of garage in my aunt and uncle's house, and you just did a little roll. I think if I did that now, I'd just lay there dead for a little bit. But this word sick, in the Greek, it's kakos. It means badly, physically or morally. Amiss, diseased, evil, grievously miserable, sick, sore. And that's how it is when you're physically ill or morally ill. Without the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and life, we're in sin. We're amiss because His Holy Spirit's not within us. We're amiss because we're not living up to God. We're diseased because the spirit that is within us is evil. And just like that, it's evil. We have an evil spirit that resides within us because there is no Holy Spirit. And there's only two spirits here that upon this earth, the evil spirit that is of the devil and the Holy Spirit. So if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the devil. There's no one or the other. Grievously. So if you're grievously ill, grievously sick, you're sick unto death. Well, guess what? We're already dying. But guess what? Once we're dead here on this earth, our soul lives on forever. But where you spend the eternity is what matters, because it's living regardless. Eternal death, where you're constantly in death, that suffering, that lake of fire, guess what? You're very much alive through that, but it's a constant death. You're just living death over and over and over in constant burning and torment. That's not where I'd want to be. That's what hell's like. It's not some big party like people say it is. I used to be one of them that say, well, you're going to go. People would say, you're going to go there. I'd say, well, fine, I'll drive the bus. I'll drive the party bus on down. How stupid was I to say such a thing? Miserably. You're miserable because you have that hole that's Jesus Christ that needs filled. And you say, well, you mean I'm miserable? I'm living a good life. I can tell you assuredly that you are miserable because I was once too. I don't care how much you drink, party, smoke, or have sex. It's not going to fill the void of Jesus Christ. And we're sick because our soul is sick because it needs Christ. And this physician, what is a physician? See, the reason I like the word is because sometimes it makes me study. And it's like I'm back in school again, and my teachers would really appreciate that. Oh, hey, this guy continues to read and study even after school. And I think I study more now than I ever did in school. But a physician is a person skilled in the art of healing, one whose profession is to prescribe remedies for diseases. In a spiritual sense, it's one that heals moral diseases as a physician of the soul. And even a natural physician, we know God gives every one of us a talent, every one of us a gift that we can use. But there was only one part of this definition I didn't like, is art of healing. The only one who does the healing is the Lord God Himself, to the sinner and the righteous. Doesn't matter, because God heals all. He gives every person the opportunity to come to Christ at some point in time in their life. Some of us step out of life earlier than others, and we don't know why. We don't always have answers. But regardless, death comes to every one of us. One out of one person is going to die. There's no guarantee. There's no escape from death, okay? But the healing comes from the Lord. A doctor can only do as much as their natural knowledge and their skill and their experience has given them. But it's the Lord God who gives forth the healing. And we know that because then the doctor could treat every sickness the same way and get the same result. But it never happens. It never happens. They're always improving. They're always improvising to find some other remedy or find some other way to make it a better medicine or a better practice. But God's the one who heals. Amen. Luke 5, 17 through 26. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And then when they could not find by what way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And let's stop right there for a second. For the multitude, there's many people that try to get into Jesus all the time. Many people still want healing today and are still in need of healing today. But what's most important is not only that we're praying, but who do you have praying for you as well? Because it wasn't the man's faith that Jesus saw when he looked upon the man. He saw their faith, not his faith. He looked upon the faith of his friends who ripped off the roof of the house and set him down. Can you imagine what people thought? Could you imagine if we're all sitting in here, it's a packed house. You got people lined outside the doors, they're tearing the windows out, and then all of a sudden, there's somebody tearing a hole in the roof to get somebody down in here because the power and presence of God is so strong that they know that the healing is in Jesus Christ, and they just need somebody to put hands on him to pray. But then they let him down through the roof. And that's how desperate we need to be for the Lord God Almighty. Not only for our physical healings, but for our spiritual healings. Day by day, do we need to be in faith and in prayer that God keep us from a corrupt and wicked world that we live in. And I work a blue-collar job, and many of you do too in this place and other offices as well. And it's a tough, stinking world out there because it is so easy to fall into temptation when you work with a bunch of heathens that all they want to do all day is cuss. They want to talk about getting drunk. They want to say, "Hey, look at this lady I was with the other night. Look at this woman I was here with the other night." And I'm like, "Oh, here I am. I'll be married 10 years this year, and I've had the same woman since high school. Thank you. I'll stuck with mine. I don't need to have 15, 20 different women, okay? My name's not Solomon. I don't need to have all these other things in life that are going to satisfy because I found contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But the first sickness that Jesus dealt with here, and as we continue to read, was not of his physical healing. And that's why I said it's not the most important of the physical. In the 21st verse, it says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" He said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven." They didn't come down asking for his sins forgiven. He is sick with the palsy. He couldn't walk. "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answered, said unto them, 'What reason you in your hearts?'" And think of that, the 22nd verse, Jesus perceived their thoughts. He knew the thoughts of the Pharisees, and he knows our thoughts as well. What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about the eternal, or are we thinking about the temporal? Lay up your treasures in heaven, not here on this earth. 23rd verse, "Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk.'" See, he's kind of mocking them here now. Who do you think you're talking to? "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house.' And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God." That's important. It's very important that once you get your healing, I tell you what, once I got saved, that's all I wanted to do was glorify God. And if you need a healing in your body, and if you receive that, glorify God. You remember the story of the 10 lepers? They all got their healing, but only one came back and gave glory to God. And it's much more blessed that we glorify God in everything that we're given, every blessing that we're granted, that we glorify God so that it doesn't turn back onto us and become something that dogs us. Because if you're blessed by something, it can very quickly become a curse to us as well if we don't remember where the blessing come from. In the 26th verse, "And they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'What have seen? We have seen strange things today.'" And how amazed and full of fear would we be if we saw that happen today in the Church of America as well? And how desperate we are for the might and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to move in such a manner as well. And you know what? The church needs to recognize the power and presence of the Holy Spirit because healings are still happening today. They're not done away with, church. They didn't just happen with the Old Testament church or the New Testament saints of the apostles. No, that power is still present with us today. If we need healing, we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and you ask your brothers and sisters in Christ to get around you and pray, lay hands on, and the power of God is present to heal if we believe. That we must believe. Don't come in half-hearted. Don't come in a way where we think, well, he might get healing. Well, it's under God's will, and his will is to heal, but we keep on praying until we go on home to be with Jesus. One way or another, we're getting the healing. Amen? Continue on the 27th verse. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, or Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, just like we read in Matthew 9. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And again, here we are. It's the religious people that are crying about who Jesus is hanging out with. It's not the sinners. It's the people who say they're righteous. But what did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He called them vipers. He called them wicked because they thought that they were righteous in their own eyes, but in the Lord's eyes, they weren't, because they were taking advantage of their position, saying, well, that I'm a religious person, I'm doing good for the kingdom of God, but in reality, they weren't. They were using their position in a way that was wicked. But Jesus, he looks right through their facade, and he gets to the point of the problem. And he answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But in Matthew 9, it says, find the meaning of that, right? So we know what the meaning is when we come to Christ, we receive that healing. Amen? And it says, I got a little commentary here. It says, the Pharisees wrapped their sin in respectability. They made themselves appear good by publicly doing good deeds and pointing at the sins of others. Jesus chose to spend time not with these proud, self-righteous religious leaders, but with people who sensed their own sin and knew that they were not good enough for God. In order to come to God, we must repent, and in order to renounce our sin, we must recognize it for what it is. And what is sin, church? Do we know what sin truly is? Sin is what separates us from God the Father. And Jesus is the one who came to forgive us of our sins so we can have communion with God the Father. Amen? And none of us enjoys being sick. Not a one of us. Because when you feel wore down, tired, sore, you're in a state of discomfort, you're throwing up, you got a fever, you feel weak. None of us like to feel like that. That's what it's like without Christ as well, as we're weak, we're in discomfort, we're tired. We don't have power over Satan. He's going to beat us around wherever he wants to go because we don't have power over him. But I know a man who's much more powerful than that devil. His name, Jesus Christ. Satan might be the strong man, but Jesus is the stronger man. Amen? And to do our best to keep from getting sick, we can eat healthy, right? We can exercise. We can rest, which in today's age, it's hard to rest, especially for us. I mean, we got four little girls, and that wears you out. Man, you can take your vitamins, you can still get sick with all that. No matter what we do, we can try our darndest to stay healthy. You can try to lock yourself away from the rest of the world, but sickness still comes. Same thing with us being Christians. We can be in the Word. We can do everything we can, but the devil still tries to come and tempt, and sometimes we fall. But that's why we need the physician. We need to go to Dr. Jesus, and he'll get us fixed up and back on track. Amen? But without Christ, everything is vain. Our soul will be still sick for eternity. That's why we need Jesus. And he's the only one that can mend our soul. Here's a few other scriptures here that encourage you. Like I said, we take our vitamins. You can take a daily vitamin or whatever. This right here, this is your daily vitamin. We're told to be in this Word every single day. You know that? Because it brings health. The part of the Lord's Prayer is, give us our daily bread. That's not talking about our natural food. It's talking about our spiritual food. This bread here is much more important. Remember when Jesus went and visited the woman at the well, and they went in to get food for them to eat? And then they came back after he had that visit with the woman and said, "Sir, or Master, we have food for you." And he says, "Oh, I have food that you know not of." And he said, did somebody come and feed him? Did somebody come and drop off something for him to eat? They didn't know what Jesus was talking about. Jesus has the Word of God within him because he was the living Word. And what he fed upon was the soul to be birthed in the kingdom of God, because once he talked to that woman, and we all know the story, how she had many different husbands, and she began to talk with Jesus, and she was a Samaritan, and it was forbidden that Jews even talk to Samaritans, but Jesus still said and had compassion upon her and saw her and said, it doesn't matter where you worship God, because one day is going to come where you don't worship on this mountain or that mountain, but you'll worship God in your own heart. And that's where our healing is not only do we have healing in Christ, but we're complete in Him, and we can worship Him no matter where we're at. I can be on the job site, and this guy over here is cussing and carrying on, and I'll just be, "Lord, get a hold of his heart." And I can be singing praises unto Him, blocking that out, because the devil is always trying to be in your mind and try to cause a battle up here. But you need to lay off the battle that's going on up here and stick on what's in here. Put on the armor of God and fight the good fight of faith, the church. But here's some encouraging scriptures. And any time you feel that you need something to encourage in your life, the Psalms are chock full of praise to Him. Because you know what Psalms are? They're literally songs. These were all sung to the God Almighty. And that's what the worship and praise should be. It's not anything for a selfish manner. And I'll tell you something about me is I don't really like some of the new worship songs because they're selfish. It's all about me, 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 me. Where's Jesus at? It's supposed to be for glorifying God the Father and not ourselves, okay? All the songs we sung here, when we give worship to God, where in that was it for us? It's to glorify Him. Yes, we get blessed by being in His presence. But when we glorify Him, it's not what for me, but it's for God Almighty. But I encourage you, even because the devil, he was the chief musician in heaven. He was the one in charge of all the worship and praise in heaven. But when he exalted himself above God, or wanted to, I mean, and then that's when he was cast down. And you hear a lot of the music today, it's demonic. There's a lot of it that when you actually listen to the lyrics, it's nothing that a Christian should be partaking in, because we know that our eyes need to be guarded by what we see, because it's the light of the body and our lamp, it's the lamp of the body. And if our eyes are clear, then so is the rest of our spirit. We're attentive to the Spirit of God and what we hear as well. We need to be very attentive to what we listen to, okay? But Psalm 147, verse 1 through 3, says, "Praise you the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healed the broken in heart and bind up their wounds." So when we praise God, we receive a healing in our spirit. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you feel lower in a snake's belly, when you begin to praise God, you begin to be elevated. Amen. Psalm 23:3, and every one of us knows Psalm 23, I would surely hope. It's probably one of the most quoted in the Bible. One of my favorites. It says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." That restoring of our soul is what we need day by day. And it's for His name's sake, because when I am guarded and guided in His path, His name's glorified. Amen? And I forgot to write down this other verse. Psalm 34:18 in the Amplified. You got it, Chris? Come down here and read it. "I sought the Lord on the authority of His word, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears." See, I really like the Amplified because when it says in that brackets there, on the authority of his word, it really breaks down the word and shows you what it really means. It breaks it down to the Greek and the Hebrew so that we can understand it, and it really helps us to dive deeper into the word and have a better understanding. Because when I read the King James primarily, but also I got about two or three other translations because I'm not a PhD in nothing. I may have a PhD in redneck theology. That's about it. I can tell you about Jesus, and I'll show you out in creation. You want to see Jesus? I'll take you to the woods, and I'll show you how Christ is evident in the trees and in the rivers and everything else, how it's alive. It was made by his hand, and in ourselves as well. Because you look at how a river system works, and then you also look at how your lungs are and how the system works in your lungs. I'm not a medical person. I can't tell you what that's called. But when you look at what?
The bronchioles,
thank you. But when you see all that and you look down the river system, it looks the same. In the rivers, the water, it brings life to the earth. Our life is in our lungs. We need air to live, right? So God didn't just say, I'm going to throw stuff together and make this happen. There wasn't just a big bang that happened and then boom, here it all is. No, God said, we'll go back to Genesis. God said, and then it happened. God was there, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. God spoke, and the Holy Spirit went and did the work. Okay? But under the word of the authority of His word, that's where we get our healing. It's in His word. And then my last psalm here is Psalm 31 through 3. It says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Thanks God. Thanks be to God for that. Now, our soul's not going down to the pit. That pit he's talking about is hell. We're not going down to hell if we have Christ in our life, because he is our escape route. Okay, you ever heard of this term, a scapegoat? Well, that came from the Old Testament, where they put the hands on the goat and cast all the sin upon it and send it out to the wilderness. Jesus is our scapegoat, okay? We don't have to worry about having to fall into hell because we have Christ living and abiding in our lives. But that doesn't mean we continue to have sin in our life, church. Well, this word causes us for a life change. It doesn't mean that, okay, well, I'm saved, I got the grace and mercy of God that I can continue to keep on sinning. No, Romans, what's it say? God forbid. Because that's when you're abusing the grace that we're given. Okay? But what about the person who's saved and they still feel heavy in their spirit, that they still have battle in the sickness and it's not gone away? Give God praise anyhow. That's all I can tell you. I'm sorry that sometimes it takes a while for healing to take place, but it's not on us to say when God's going to move. We can't dictate God's timetable. We have to fall in God's timetable, okay? And it's a process. Sometimes that's the season we need to be in, because how great it would be if every time we're in the presence of God, it's always this mountaintop experience like Moses had, like Jesus had when Moses and Elijah came down and he was transfigured on the mount. Mountaintop experiences are great, church, but it's not where growth comes. Growth comes where we're down here in the season of valley. In the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, that's where growth comes. And that's also, I believe it's in Psalms somewhere, but when we're in the valley season, that's where growth comes, because nothing grows on a mountaintop. You ever think of that? Every time you go to the top of a mountain, it's barren. But in the valley, even Psalm 23 tells us that. Yea, though I walk... Hold on. He make me glide down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. Well, on the top of a mountain, guess what? Gravity works. There's no still water in a mountain. It flows down. Still waters are in a valley. Green pastures are in a valley. Fruit grows in a valley. You want fruit to grow in your life and in your walk with Christ, you're going to go through valley seasons. But then Not only does that cause grow, it helps us to grow closer to Christ, because in that valley, we're relying upon Him because we need strength. Because in valley areas, that's also where a lot of predators like to be. And the predator of our soul is Satan. He's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm not going to be one of them whom he may, because I'm not giving him territory to stramp, to come into my heart and my life. And Jesus Christ's blood says, stop right there. You can't come any further, because Satan can't trample on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Proverbs 4, 19 through 27. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Or daughter, you put yourself there too. It's not just for men. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And this is, we know Solomon, he was one that wrote a lot, I think he wrote pretty much the whole book of Proverbs, I think. But he's saying, my son, attend to my words. But this was the Holy Spirit giving him the words to write down. Because out of all things, when God asked Solomon, what did he want? He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for possessions. He asked for wisdom to guide the people. So because that was his heart's desire, not only did God give him wisdom, but then he also was granted possession and wealth. But incline thine ear unto my sayings. So if we want to be healthy in our walk with Christ, we need to incline our ears to his sayings. Incline means you got to listen. And we need to not turn from the right to the left, but and remove our foot from evil. We know it's a straight and narrow path that leads to salvation. That narrow path is real easy to detour off course. And if you have a temptation, it's like a little breadcrumb that is dropped before you. What's that story? Hansel and Gretel, where it was candy or something, where it was dropped in the forest and they went on down to the witch's house, right? And we don't practice witchcraft either. That we're not saying that. But that's in that story, they was guided into this witch's house, and then we all know what happened is they was ate or whatever it was. But that's how the story goes for us too. If we fall into temptation, the Satan's going to come along and put this little breadcrumb to lead us off our path to salvation. And before too long, you're going to be in his house. And he's going to devour you. So we need to make sure we're on track with the Lord God Almighty. Don't follow these little breadcrumbs that Satan's leaving for us to be tempted to fall off course. Keep on the course. But if we do fall and you go 2-3 breadcrumbs in and you say, oh, I'm off course, turn your butt back around, repent, and get back on path. Don't continue therein. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. And it's only the word that is necessary to heal, deliver, and set free. And we know that today also, because Jesus isn't living down here in the flesh, but we still have his word, and it's just as good, right? How much greater it would be that we could see Jesus face to face, but we have that hope and promise that we will one day. But all we need is his word, and that will encourage us and keep us. Amen? And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And this, they're talking about a Roman. This was a Roman centurion, not even a Jewish person. But Jesus sees the faith of this man. And he says that he's not worthy for him to come under his roof. Many people wanted Jesus to come to them, but this man says, only your word is good enough. And for us today, the word is good enough. Amen. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto this centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So as soon as he began to leave and go back to his house, the healing was taking place before he even got back. Amen? Because he believed the word. We need to believe the word, church. Then I ask you that question, do we believe? You should say amen. Because amen means I agree with you, brother. I say, yes, I agree in his word. I know it's truth, and I'm going to live out his truth. But the Lord provides for us his word. It strengthens us. It encourages us to follow him and be renewed day by day. Give us this daily bread. Renews us in our spirit every day with his word. It's the word of God that gives us our health for our soul and our spirit to continue for this walk in Christ, because we know it's not an easy walk. It's a blessed walk. It's a prosperous walk, but it's not an easy walk. And I ask you, are you sick? Is your spirit sick? Do you need the healing of Christ in your life? Let's go back to Matthew 9, 12 and 13. It says, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. Meaning, those that are struck in sin, we're in need of a healer. We're in need of a redeemer. But go and learn what that means. That's what that means, church. That we need Jesus, and he doesn't need us. And he has called us to come unto him, that we may sup with him, that we may sit down and dine with him. One day we'll all have a big dinner together with Jesus called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And how great that's going to be when all my brothers and sisters in Christ and all that have been redeemed shall sit together with our Lord and Savior. And we'll look upon him and say, you've healed us from every infirmity. You've bound up every one of our sicknesses. You wipe away every tear. Thank you, Jesus. And we can look unto him and give him thanks and give him praise. But as for you who has not accepted, today can be your day if you're here this morning. If you've ever messed up and fallen into temptation as being born again, we have a faithful high priest who is just to forgive us. 1 John 1, 8 and 10, 8 through 10. First John 1, 8 through 10. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we know that Christ is not a liar, we be the liar. If we ever say that I've not sinned, we're lying, because every one of us has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. Every one of us. But if that's you here this morning, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if that's you here this morning where you need Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need healed from whatever sickness it is from your spirit, I want you to just raise your hand if you're here this morning, that Christ may come and enter into your life and make you new, that you will be healed in your spirit and soul and body in Jesus' name. Are you here this morning? Not here to embarrass anybody, but this is the most important part of the whole sermon, that you have the opportunity to make Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't see any hands going up, so that must mean everybody's saved. And thanks God for that. Thanks God for that. But if you are here this morning and you're dealing with a sickness and you want prayer, now I encourage you, you can step forward and we'll ask that the church come and pray with you, and I'll pray with you. We'll ask that the Holy Spirit enter into that issue and bring forth the healing that you're in need of. All right, we'll leave it unto the Lord then. But we know with every prayer that's given from our prayer list as well that every church has, don't give up praying for them people, because healing is on the way. Don't stop believing either, because nothing is impossible for God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Every sickness, every infirmity, nothing is impossible for Him. Amen? So let's go ahead and we'll close in prayer, and then we'll have a blessed day. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this wonderful day You've given us, Lord. For the power of Your presence to be here in this place, Lord, and to know that You are our ultimate physician, Lord. You're the one who heals, delivers, and sets free. And Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning, Lord, that the word has gone forth and may help us to draw closer to You, Lord, and help us to walk a walk of faith that is in belief to You, and that Your word may be in us all the time. And that, Lord, You give us a hunger for Your word, and that we may partake of it daily, Lord, that we may be restored in our souls. And Lord, for every sickness and infirmity that has been called upon for prayer this day, God, I pray that You may touch every one of those affected and bring forth the healing in Jesus' mighty name. For we know, Lord, You still heal today, and You still deliver and set free. And God, I just pray for freedom in the church house to go forth and to help others as well, and that we may do Your will. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.